بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. Abu Talib was approaching his end. The Quraysh hierarchy leaders created some concern in them. What face will have amongst people if we stop Nabi Sosam after he's gone, after Abu Talib is gone? Because the story that will float around will be that as long as man was alive, Abu Talib was alive, they couldn't do anything. And now that he's noble, so therefore you are taking advantage, exploiting the situation. So that will go against our reputation, against our respect. So the most appropriate thing will be that we go and sort this thing out, settle it, now that he's alive. It's come to the end. And let's go and sort this out. So they approach, and Abu Talib called for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he explained that these are the proposals of your people. You do your thing and they will do their thing. Don't talk against their deities. So Hazrat Nabi's style wasn't that he would pick a fight, look out for a fault, or look out for trouble. It was not. I had explained earlier that taraka nafsahu ala thalathin, his whole life modus operandi, his whole commitment was, he left out three things, absolute, complete, from the beginning till the end. Any part of his life, you will find these three things to be distinct. Taraka al-mira, he will never get involved in a fight, argument. That was not his time, not his way. To get involved in a fight, argument. That was not the style, not the way. But imagine these are the things that he kept on right from the beginning, right to the end. You won't find him in that. Avoid trouble, avoid fight, avoid argument, avoid a quarrel. That was not his way. وَتَرَكَ الْإِكْبَارِ. And the second commitment that he made his entire life was at no time he showed attitude, pride, arrogance, me. He didn't show it. From the beginning right up to the end, you can't show that he ever contemplated this as well. Forget even doing it, even contemplate. So that was the second commitment that he made for that entire life. And the third commitment that he made for his entire life, لَيْعَنِي. Things that didn't concern him, he left it out. Can't we just take this sunnah home today? The sunnahs we practice all, whether they are distinct and visible, or they are not visible, all are the sunnah, and all have to be respected, given the highest respect. A small sunnah also is not a small sunnah. It's a practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so it has to be held in esteem and respect. But sometimes we restrict ourselves just to some sunnah. Someone's got a miswak, so only miswak. Trousers above the ankles and above the ankles. That's all. Then this other sunnahs, leaving out fights, quarrels, etc. Then do we commit ourselves on this? You know, the Quran Sharif speaks about two people had a dispute and they came to Dawud al-Islam. Khasmani bagha ba'duna ala ba'd, tahkum bainana bilhaqti wala tushtit wahdina ila sawa'i sirat. We've got a problem, in this partnership, so decide and don't overstep the mark. And he explains his story, إِنَّ هَذَا my brother, got 99 ewes and I have just one. And he's demanding that my one must be added to his 99. وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. And in the process of discussion, he suppresses me. Now, because he's got the might, he's got power, he's got influence, so he can talk like how he's talking, and speak like how he's speaking. He can say what he wants. وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. See that? And Dawud alayhi salam says, إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِدْ. This is the standard. Most partnerships, one person is, he's overstepping his mark. He's hurting the next person. But just a few amongst the believers. Otherwise, everybody is the same. Now, in an argument, or in a quarrel, even if it is an arbitration or a high court order, even if it was awarded to you, it doesn't mean that it is recognized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to follow a certain procedure, and after you have followed the procedure, they award you the judgment. But awarding the judgment doesn't mean that this is legal, because they got their own procedures, their own standards that they will follow. What is impermissible by us will be probably legal by them. Someone won something in the casino, so it's totally legal, and by us, we don't want to see that money. Someone has sold so much of carrion or so much of swine or pork, right? For them, it's absolute legal money. Millions, millions. What a big enterprise, right? We don't want to see that money. We don't want to touch that farm. So it doesn't mean that if it's legal, then it is recognized in the Sharia. Someone is married in community, and one of the spouses have to die, husband or the wife has to die. So married in community take half the property. So the children's rights have been affected, other heirs' rights are affected, the parents of the deceased, their rights are. She said, no, it's my legal right. But legal right is not so legal. It's illegal, that's haram. You're eating someone else's wealth. And knowingly that this is haram, you're eating it, and you're still trying to justify, that makes your case very serious. It makes it very serious. See, you know, how beautifully the hadith says it. It was the Hawazin and lengthy procedure, but I just want to show you this part of the story, right? So these people came with a delegation and say, we have accepted Islam. Now that we have accepted Islam, our captives must be released and our wealth also must be released. Now, in the standard of law, or the standard of war at that time, and in fact up till now, the standard of war is that once we have gained, right, your territory, then all those that were participants in the war will belong to us. And the wealth also will belong to us. And that will become the mal of ghanimat, will be distributed amongst the soldiers. Those that participated, it will be distributed according to them, right? It will be distributed to them. Now they are pleading that their wealth and their people, that means the wives, children, ought to be returned to them. So Nabi Sam is explaining to them, you see, this has already become the right of the participants of the war. Those Muslims that have participated, it's their right. Now I can't go and squeeze them and ask them to release, but I can intercede on your behalf. But then one or two things. I can't take everything away from them. They've worked hard, they have fought, they have risked their lives. So either the wealth or your people, what you want. So no, we want our people back. Then he spoke, says, I'm going to intercede on your behalf to the rest of the Sahaba Ikram. Imagine Nabi Sam could have taken a unilateral decision and all would have accepted. But now, when it's a matter of halal and haram, he wants to make it clear. لا يحل مال مؤمن إلا بطيب نفس منه. But wealth is not halal until it's given with the freedom, the happiness of the heart. Man is giving it, but he's giving it grudgingly. So now he consented. Like it happens in most states, And the weaker party, then they give in. They sign out and they give in, right? Weak, whoever is weaker, they will sign out. So now, they giving in because of that influence is not giving up their right. It's a type of extortion. Why I signed for it? Why I said mark? Because now of the pressure. I know what's going to happen. If I'm not going to sign, then I'll be ostracized. I'll be cut off. So now because of that pressure, now I'm giving in. But is that wealth halal? If it's not going to be halal, in world it will be halal. But is it halal? Then it's going to have its disastrous effects. That haram is going to enter your system. Then it's going to have that disaster. Your children are going to rebel. There will be fights in the house. There won't be happiness. There won't be happiness in whatever you are doing. You won't get the barakah that you had envisaged. Nothing will work out for you. Just the quantity may just grow, but the quality of life all will just get constricted. Everything is just evaporating. No happiness. There's a house, but no warmth. There's life, but no enjoyment, no fulfillment. So people give in their rights, but giving in their rights, is it permissible? You extort the person, you exploit the person, use influence and suppress the person and ask him, you need maaf. So as though you're saying to the person, agar tune maaf kar diya, chhod diya, to hum aapko mithai khilayenge. Aur agar maaf nahi kiya, to pitai khilayenge. You want mithai or you want pitai? What you want? Make up your mind. We'll cut off. So the person comes in, the woman, person that cannot talk for herself or for himself, and they just wave off their rights. They just give in. Today there was a case, right? So it was like a mudarabat. It's a mudarabat case now. So we explained to the party that this is a mudarabat case, and the mudarab, the active partner, wants to end it up, right? So when he wants to end it up, now you have got a right. When he wants to end it up, that mal is yours. But now it's been trading for 5 years or so, so it will become like a shirkat. Why it will become like a shirkat is because you are earning and putting in your wealth back into the business. So say for example, you bought a car for R1 million and you sold it for 1.5, right? So, for example, the arrangement was 50% yours, 50% is mine. So that means 240,000 was yours, right? And you put it back into the business. So when you put it back into the business, it's like a shirkat now. So this business grew not only with his wealth, with this person's wealth as well. Right? It's like a shirkat now. So when it became like a shirkat, not entirely a shirkat, but became like a shirkat. So now, this is the net value of the business. This is what you have put in. And this is part of his wealth that he's put into the business. Now, for example, the business is worth R2 million. Right? When the business will be terminating. So if you want, I can sell off my share to you. And you want, you can sell off your share to me. Right? So I'm terminating this thing. I don't want this thing any longer. So it was a long struggle to explain to the person that it's going to be a long struggle. So he says, no, I don't want it. Alright, then I don't want it as well. So now you'll have to work on this thing here and pay me the R2 million. You'll have to. Because what must I do with the asset? I got nothing to do with the asset. What can I do with the asset? So you can work and give me the R2 million. No. See this extortion. You could say, Laura, see, if you don't want that, you take your portion of the asset, move away, I'll take my portion. So now you have to work. But now you see he's in control. And he's extremely wealthy. A couple of billions he's got. So he says at the meeting as well, that for me to give away R2 million is nothing. I'll make this person suffer a little bit. But you see now that that power, that influence, we begin to think after a period of time that power and that influence is recognized by Allah Ta'ala as well. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَعْلُمْ وَلَا بَنْبَ Allah Ta'ala, that thing is nothing. When Abu Bakr Nabi himself is saying, it's not even a wing of a mosquito, So what worth is God? No worth, absolutely. Now you're suppressing the person just on account of your wealth. Now will this wealth of yours that you get, will there be any barakat in it? Now you see, the thing will just, it will destroy you, destroy your children, destroy your family, your household, everything will go to destruction. Now you think nothing can happen. But that stick of Allah comes at the right time. It comes. So now, see how Nabi is conducting himself. This is either the wealth or the people, what you want. So we take our people. Now he turns to the Sahaba Ikram, these people have come in. And when they have come in, they're remorseful, they're accepting Islam, but they want everything to be released. And this is the proposal that I've made. So they're happy with taking away the children. Children and whatever people have been. But are you people also waiving your rights? Because after the war, then this belongs to you, it's your property. On your behalf, I've already mentioned that I'll make this mark. Right? But that is subject to your willing consent. I can't use any type of influence on you. I can't force you. You're happy? Very good. Otherwise, we'll think of something else. So all consented. Except I think two Sahaba. One was Abu Dujana, and there was another Sahabi. That's not, we need the money. Alright? Min awwali fayyin afa' Allahu alayna. The first booty that we get, we will repay you for that. Now, after this whole arrangement, this agreement has been made, Nabi Sallam still says, we don't know who of you have consented happily, and who of you have not consented happily, because it's an arm majma. It's a whole gathering here, right? In this big gathering, over 1,000 people, 2,000 people perhaps, right? Well, according to that hadith, in this campaign there were 1,800, right? 1,800, right? How you make it that out? 1,800. Right. Lil Farisi Sahman. Walil Rajil Sahmun. Right. And in this battle, right, there were 300 Faris. So in Sahman, how much they get? 600, right? And Rajil will get just one share. So how much he gets? One, that's 1200. 1200 by 600, 1800. Right. So now, in a majma, in a gathering of 1800 people, one person to say, no, I'm not happy about it. Well, it'll be easy. Hey, all of us have accepted him. What's wrong with you now? You know, that's how his mind will work. So now, we don't know who is happily consenting and who is not happily consenting. So what we need to do is, you know, go back, and every group has got a representative, a Chaudhary, an Arif, they call it an Arif, right? He's got a representative that represents them. 10 people, one person represents him. 20 people, he's got a representative, right? So you all go and discuss it yourselves. If you're still happy, then your representatives will come and tell me that no, you're giving it with their willing consent. Otherwise, you've got no business with this. See this whole thing that Nabi Sam went through. On the one side you hear, he is the Sayyidul Anbiya. He's the most chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There isn't any person that is close to him also. Forget being, he is equal. But then in his mu'amalat and his dealings, he's so pure, absolute. No extortion, no exploitation, no taking advantage over the situation. It's yours, you do as you please. See this mindset. Hazrat Barira radiallahu anha, right, she gets her freedom. She's a slave woman, now she's freed. Her husband is Mughis, right. Now, when a woman gets her freedom, then she's got an option to retain the marriage or to walk out of the marriage. It's your choice. You want to retain, very good. You want to get out of the marriage, then also you have got, it's your choice, right? The reason that the Hanafis will give is that the woman has got the right to come out of the marriage, because as a slave, right, the husband had a right only of issuing two divorces. But now that she's freed, the husband has got the right to issue 3 divorces. So that means he's got superior control over her. You see, if she waives her right, then she's allowing her to have an additional control over her. Understand? So, at that point, the Sharia says, alright, you see now, you are freed, and you have got an option. You want him to have a greater control over you, or you want to walk out of this marriage. What do you want? It's your choice. In the meanwhile, the Bariya says, no, I just want out. Mughith al-Yalami is the husband, black in complexion, but he's too fond of the wife. Nabi Sallam is interceding on behalf of Mughith. وَالْدُمُوءُ يَسِيلُ عَلَىٰ خَدِّي. Bichara is walking around like a Layla Majnoon. The tears are coming down his cheeks, right? Ya Barira, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah Ta'ala, go back to him. But now look at the freedom, the level of freedom Nabi Sallam has awarded to the Sahaba in general, even to a slave. She was a slave yesterday, now she's freed. And she's freed by who? She's freed by the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Aisha. Now, the reason didn't use this as a leverage. See, we, our household, freed you. And today you like this, namakaram like this. He didn't use it. No, absolutely no exploitation. As Aisha, the household of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, freed this woman. Obviously, what Aisha gave is from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? So, our house freed you. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is always asking here, Allah Ta'ala, won't you fear Allah Ta'ala? But see this man, see. How bitter he's feeling. The separation. How difficult it is to separate a wife when there's affinity, there's that love. How difficult it is to separate. So, all Barira does, now she's freed by the household of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But now she's so free to say what she wants, that she asks Nabi Sallallahu, Ya Rasulullah, is this Amruk, is a command, or Ra'yuk, or it's just a suggestion? Is it your command, or is it just your suggestion? So she says, no, it's my suggestion. She says, no, La hajata li fiha. I got nothing to do with it, I got no business with it. She can speak so freely. So Nabi Sallam allowed them to have this level of freedom to say what they want. See now. Now therefore it was right for Nabi Sallam to intercede, to make a recommendation. Our recommendation is like a command. I am saying this. You need to give so and so to this one in marriage. And if you don't, you see what happens. See. So Nabi Sallam's recommendation was a recommendation. And when she said, no, I don't want this. Nabi Sallam did not change his stance against Hazrat Barira radiallahu anha. Now, Nabi Sallam is going past, and Hazrat Barira may have wished Nabi Sallam made salam or something. And Mafi Burmatik, what's cooking? See, the level of relationship. See, what's cooking? No. Sadaqatan tusuddika ala Barira. It's some sadqa meat, zakat meat that has been given to Barira, right? So Nabi Sallam asked something. So Nabi, she's saying the sadaqatun. Laki sadaqatun walana hadiyatun. For you it's a sadaqa, but if you feed us, then that's a gift. Now see, the masla opened out. With the changing of the hands, then the law changes, right? With the changing of the hands, then the law changes. I gave him 5,000 rand, right? Zakat. Right? In his hands, it went as zakat. He went to the Mr. Grocer and he bought some groceries. So for him, it's a price. For him, it was zakat. For him, it's a price, the value of his goods. So the changing of the hands changed the command, the rule changes as well. Now you see, Nabi Sallam did not allow his relationship to be affected because she wanted out. Now said, no, I'll fix her, put it in place. I will never get to your house again. He goes and eats of her. So the relationship is maintained. Now, Nabi Sallallahu recommendation is a recommendation. Right? His intercession is an intercession. One person comes to one Buzurg, make a recommendation for me. I need some help from this person here. So make a recommendation. So he writes, in aataita فَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْمُعْتِي وَأَنْتَ الْمَأْجُورُ وَإِن مَنَعْتَ فَاللَّهُ الْمَانِعُ وَأَنْتَ الْمَعْزُورُ. How beautiful he says it. If you grant, then really the grantor is Allah Ta'ala, the bestower is Allah Ta'ala, but you, at the end you will get rewarded. But if you don't allow this to happen, then the one that is stopping this from happening is Allah Ta'ala, and you excuse. Your excuse is valid. No problem. But now see, that's a recommendation. So see this whole situation here, all this scenario, and what is a recommendation, what is exploitation, what is extortion. I tell you, if it wasn't the Sharia, we were being like animals. Really. It's the Sharia that we've got respect. It is Deen that has given us izzat. Qawmun azzalallahu bil Islam. The word of Umar is absolutely 100% precise. Respect is because of Islam. Move away and you are nothing, absolutely nothing. You are a non-entity. So then appreciate this, right? Everything of Islam. Islam doesn't mean just la ilaha illallah, no, no. The whole Islam. Then your respect is in proportion to the commitment that you give to Islam. And to the extent that you depart from Islam, it's your disgrace, it's your humiliation. Square, right? There's no mincing of words. You commit yourself, then you will elevate to the extent of your commitment. And you depart, to that extent you'll be disgraced, you'll be embarrassed, and you'll be humiliated. See, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ. Hadith says, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ. When you begin to trade with Ina, Ina, what it means? بَيْءُ مَشْتَرَى. Right? بَيْءُ مَشْتَرَى بِأَقَلَّ. Now, see, I bought something from you. Say, I bought this jacket from you for 1,000 naira, right? I bought it from you. I bought it in account, 1,000 naira, right? Now, after a couple of days, I can see that you can't pay that money. When you can't pay that money, so you come to me, I bought the jacket from you for 1,000 naira. Now you can't pay up. When you can't pay up the money, so you come back to me, so you can't pay the money. So what do? You sell the jacket back to me for 500. What? You sell the jacket to me for 500. You got the picture, right? Now what has happened? He's got his jacket back. He's got the jacket back, right? And plus, he's owing 500 rand. Plus, he's getting an additional 500 rands. So, Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi says, هَذَا الْبَيْعُ إِنْدِي مِثْلُ الْرِبَى وَدَعَتْهُ أَكَلَةُ الْرِبَى. هَذَا الْبَيْعُ إِنْدِي مِثْلُ الْجِبَالِ وَدَعَتْهُ أَكَلَةُ الْرِبَى. This thing here, how they constructed the whole thing, is like a mountain. This usurious, they have created this thing. See, this transaction they have created. So now, when you hear of the financing system that is going on, you are just using Islam, right? Islam as a top. But approximately the same systems, that person that is in debt now, he can't move away. And the financing is never at a loss. He structured the thing so beautifully, according to him, that he can never suffer the loss. The loss will come all on your side. Finance is in no loss whatsoever. So you see this type of useless transactions. So the hadith is saying, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ. When you begin to transact in this manner, يَعْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ. There come a time, زَمَانٌ عَادٌ يَعُدُّ النَّاسُ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ. People will hold on to the wealth. More, when they use the word bite in Arabic, adubin nawajis, it means holding very firmly. So they will hold to the wealth very firmly. You know, one multi-billionaire came here. You know. Everybody got his own story. He'll give business story. That, well, it opens my mind how people think. I don't have an interest in listening to the story, but like to understand how they think. So if you address them, then you don't have to address them. He says, you know, you swear us, we don't feel anything about it. But you know where we feel hurt? When our money goes. When our money goes, that's where we feel hurt. You swear us, talk anything against us, we don't feel anything about it. Where it hurts us most, we're from 10 billion, we came to 1 billion, hey, it hurts us, we can die. But otherwise, you swear us, humiliate us, it doesn't mean anything to us. So it hurts us most at that point. So the hadith is warning, when your trade becomes like this, تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِيمَةِ. The original Muslim style is right, by be happy and let be happy. And the kuffar style was, let's corner the market. What? Let's corner the market. That is not our style. Yeah, happy and let be others, let others be happy. Enjoy and let others be enjoying. And you're not going to do this. So what's going to happen? The quantity may come into your life, but you lose the quality of life. See, the deen always has a deeper meaning. I was explaining to children, you know, young boys, 19, 20 years of age. So some of them now, they want to get married to a certain girl now. So I use that to explain how dua works. So it's something they can relate to, then it's easy to relate. So he said, I tell him, see, every dua is accepted. I want to get married to that girl. No, we never got married. How can you see that? I have to come right to the level to make them understand. See, now, see, I told him, see, 10 boys want to get married to one girl, right? So all making dua, Allah Ta'ala give us this girl. Haseena Bibi must come, my luck, Haseena Bibi. So I'm asking them, if Allah Ta'ala had to accept everybody's dua, what happened? It would be a big fight, isn't it? Won't there be a fight? He said, no, Haseena Bibi is mine, Haseena Bibi is everybody. Won't there be a fight? So dua is accepted. So Allah Ta'ala will give Haseena Bibi to Mr. Hassan, right? The one that was appropriate, Allah Ta'ala has turned away Haseena Bibi to him, right? And the others will get what is more appropriate for them. What is better for them, Allah Ta'ala gave it to them. And what was more appropriate for Mr. Hassan, Allah Ta'ala gave it to. Allah Ta'ala gave Haseena Bibi what was more appropriate for her. So now, I say again that the du'as are answered. This was the better thing for you, but you didn't understand it. Now, if Allah had to accept everybody's du'a, can you imagine what a fight it would have been? What a confusion it would have been? Mess up, it would have been, real disaster it would have been. Think to yourself, now everybody's, she's Mrs. World now, if everybody's fighting for her. What's going to happen? The whole life would be destroyed. So Allah Ta'ala says, Wallahu ya'alamu wa antum la ta'alam. I know what's now good for you and what's good for you in the future. You don't know what it is. You're only looking at now, at this moment. In a few days, in a few years, in a few months, what's going to happen? It's going to turn as a disaster. You don't realize these things yet. But we know it. So we'll give Mrs. Haseena to the one that is most appropriate. Right. Now, this youngster now is 19, 20 years of age. So if you give them some good explanation, alhamdulillah, they're willing to accept. Now this appeal to their minds. Hey, you know, think, hey, how are we going to do this? Now we can, you know, a flat, we can have a timeshare. But a wife? You can't think of timeshare. Can't happen. Impossible. How is it going to work? How is it going to work out? Can it work out? So Allah gave what was more appropriate for this person. Understood? Simple example, but understand, try and digest the thing. So every dua Allah Ta'ala accepted, but gave him what was better for him, gave him what was better for him. He'll only realize this in time. Now he will not realize it, right? Now I can explain, give another example, another scenario. Right? Say, see, sometimes Allah Ta'ala takes away something from you, right? And you feel very hurt, hey, this thing was by me. And it's taken away from me. Right? What a big loss. Crisis, depression, all that. So what he's taken away from you also, that also is a blessing. But you don't realize it. What he's taken away is also a blessing, but just that you cannot understand it. Now let me give you an example. But there's an example that you can understand this thing. See, we read all the hadiths, all the Quran Sharif ayahs, but very seldom we take out the time to try and look at the depths of it. I say that what he's taken away also is a blessing. Right. My father was happy with his one child, so he gave him a second-hand car. 20,000 rand for a kid's car. He is so excited about all day and night, car, polishing the thing, cleaning the thing, running around. Now the father seeing that this child is 17, 18, he still have to read and write his exams. Right. He still have to go to matric, complete the exams. Then I need to put him into university, he must learn a career, and he'll become a very strong person, because my child is talented, I can see all the teacher things, he's very talented. So he'll have a very bright future. Now the father gave him the car, he's running around, his whole very good on, running around. What the father did now? Father took away the car. He's in his room, he's saying, you betrayed me, you know. You gave me the car, and you know, you're taking away the gift. Kalbi, like a dog, now, you know, was it what is? Ya'udu fi qayyi, like a dog is licking up its vomit. What a bad thing you're doing. He's swearing his father in. You know, you want to work for your exams, you're going to work for your career, you're going to work for your profession. This father of mine, he did this. Anyway, his father got him into study. 10 years later, he became a very strong professional person. So strong he became, every second day he's earning, he's getting 100, 200, 300,000 rand. You want to ask some of these specialist surgeons, see how they're taking out. Right? Someday 100, 200, 300 days they take out. Now when he's running his business here, and he's getting 100,000, 200,000 at the end of the month, about a million rand every month. My father, what he did really was a blessing. But it took me 10 years to understand this thing. Why didn't he tell me that time? Or why did he take this away from me earlier on? See, so there is some good in the disaster, the problem also, there is a good thing. Now, where I got this idea was, one person is telling me, you know, this, he didn't give me the names, but my town. The wealthiest person in the town, and Bichara, he had a drug problem. He's the wealthiest person, wealthiest. He got Ferrari, he got this car, that car, whatever, running here, there, everywhere. So his whole business just went down, absolutely down. Now he's working. He says, I saw the man when he was at that level, there wasn't a person in the town as wealthy as him. And today I see him, he's gone right down. The story is giving me, right? But now that he's gone right down, he's working, he's in employment. He's not regretful. You see him early in the masjid, what a happy marital life, namaz, everything is in order. You know, there's nothing short in the house. Although, he doesn't have that izzat that he had before amongst the wealthy class, but he's very healthy. And he himself says, I don't want to stop with that life. Right? He doesn't want to stop for that life. Right? Now, you see the equation that wealth took him to an easy life, that easy life took him to drugs, to a freedom, right? And when Allah pulled it away, then he came to his senses, he became right, came onto the track. Allah gave him the satisfaction, the happiness of the heart. When he gave him that happiness of the heart, now he realized what he was missing. And therefore he says that, I don't want to stop that life. This life here, for the past I don't want. So Allah had to take this away for him to understand and appreciate the goodness of talking to him, reading his book, taking his name, engaging in namaz. Allah took it away, now he got the freedom, now he got the sweetness. And therefore when he realizes this, now he doesn't want to make a stop. Although if he's in the Bahrain, now you know, one day I was a mota, everybody's making me salam, babu and all that. Now I don't get that respect. But you see, everything is fitting in these two hadiths, about dua and musibat. Isn't it fitting? But now the secret in this whole thing is, just do three things. You work moderately. I don't say don't work, give up your work. No. Work moderately. And I say most people, I do work because, and work more moderately, right? Not more than moderation, average, a little less than average work, right? Because for most of us today, if we don't work, then we become a devil's workshop. No occupation, how are you going to occupy time? Then see all the wrong things, movies and whatever else, right? Now you've got some work, you got some obligation, so it keeps you away from shaitan. We cannot compare ourselves to Rabia Basariya radiyallahu anha, who is performing 1,000 rakats every day. Can you? Do you have that? Do you have the spiritual energy to do it? So keep ourselves in occupation with this intention that this will be a defense and a protection for me to getting into haram. I'll get into some business, maybe I'll help someone, I'll assist someone, and I'll assist myself also, but I will stay away from haram. So it's a fortress to keep away from haram. So one is you work moderately. Right. Number two, you keep asking dua, make shukr for what you've got. Ask Allah Ta'ala for barakat in everything, in your deen, in your children, in your dunya, in your akhirat. Ask for the good. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. For the good of yourself, your children, your wife, your progeny to come to the day of Qiyamah, make dua for all of them. Right? Number two. So you make an effort, you make dua. In the dua, you also include some shukr. You make a concerted effort of making shukr. Not just shukr, alhamdulillah, shukr, alhamdulillah, and you go on, afi, alhamdulillah. No, no, no. Make it an effort. I do this after Fajr, make dua. Then my mind is going on shukr. So some at least 1 minute or 3/4 minute, just on shukr. Allah, what blessings you have given. Generally, I talk about 3-4 things in my dua. Right? One is the fact that Allah Pak made really so easy, right? That He, Allah Pak could have disgraced us, embarrassed us in the process of rozi. But He made the rozi so easy, with izzat Allah Pak you granting. I'm so fortunate, I'm so grateful to you. Isn't it a reason for us to make shukr? When He's made it easy, enjoyable, getting too much of enjoyment, respect, is coming to us, right? We've got no reason to complain, absolutely no reason. Yes, yes, we have reason to complain of ourselves. We're not doing enough. We're doing a broken effort. We're not doing like we're supposed to be doing. That's, we've got reason to complain about ourselves. But Allah will be very happy with Him. So I need to say, Allah, I'm happy with you for everything. Asbagha alayna ni'amau zahiratan wa batina. He's blessed us with tangible gifts and intangible gifts about iman, all that, what's in your heart, the inner satisfaction, inner enjoyment, all your organs are all right, functioning. I ask you, isn't that a reason for you to be thankful to Allah Ta'ala? Go and see the hospital. This person's lung is failing, that person's kidney is collapsing, this is what's happening to this person here. Go and see these things here, then ask Allah, okay, I'm really thankful. I'm really appreciative. Allah, everything is working, eyes are working, I can work, I can talk, I can understand, I can eat, I can enjoy. Allah, so much you have given. So you make it a concerted effort to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. أَصْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. Visible favors of Allah Ta'ala and inner favors of Allah Ta'ala that you can't even see. Satisfaction, happiness. You go in your house, such a warm feeling. Your children, grandchildren are holding you. They're talking to you, they're respecting you. Somebody bringing tea, somebody bringing some chocolate. What were they offering you? You don't have this place for it. They're offering you so much. You put the love in their hearts for me, that today I'm enjoying so much. Can't you make this? Can't you thank Allah Ta'ala? Obviously, keep complaining, Allah, this is not right, that's not right. Can't we have that tongue to thank Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for what He's giving us? So one is for the rozi, and you know, variety. He didn't make us like animals, who's every day going to eat grass. Same thing. What happened? If I give you dal chawal every day, what happened? Kantari jahe. You're tired of the thing, isn't it? Every day is a new variety. What's on today? What's tomorrow? What's for the night? When you think about it, like you think every day is a special. Don't you think that? Every day is a special. So much Allah is given. Right? So one is for the rozi. One is for sattari. Allah, you know, from the day I know myself, 11, 12, 13, from that day till now, I just want to bow my head in shame what I've done. I don't want anybody to know about it. What I've done in the past and to this day, Labak, you just concealed me. You allowed your charter of izzat to cover me. So the izzat that I got, the respect is not mine, is your charter of izzat that you have enshrouded me. It's your shroud that you have enshrouded me. That is why people are respecting me. Otherwise, if you leave me, you pull that shroud away, I'm nothing but disgrace. Absolute disgrace and humiliation. People respect you. For what? It is the shroud of Allah Ta'ala you've been shrouded with, for which people respect you. Pull that out, then see what happens. See, the second thing is Allah Ta'ala has bestowed. Second thing He's given you, third thing He's given you, is the wealth of iman. One Pathan, poor Pathan, not wealthy. He says, hey, I am greater than the wealthiest person, the head of the state of America, or of London, whatever. I am wealthier than them. I got what they don't have. And he's proud about himself. Hey, what have you got? They be so proud. I got iman, I got kalima. Ask them, they got nothing. Nonsense, they got. What they got? 2 days. Char din ki chandani phir andheri raat hai. 100 saal ka saman, lekin pal ki khabar nahi. Was so much of wealth. You know what will happen in a twinkling of an eye, you don't know. So can you call that wealth? In a twinkle of an eye, you know what's going to happen. So this man used to be so proud of, hey, what he's given me. He hasn't given the head of the state. I've got iman, I've got the wealth of iman. So I ask you, isn't that a reason for you to be proud and to be happy? I don't have much of other things, but I got this, really, I got it. I got too much. But man is a poor man, but Allah has opened his understanding. When you open his understanding, you can think like this. I ask you, won't this person be happy? The fourth thing that we need to be showing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from all the creation, He has chosen us to be the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I ask you, isn't that a reason for you to be grateful? Eat Durood Sharif, show thanks. And the thanks, if you read Durood Sharif, but in happiness, in ecstasy, made me of all, I'm such a gunagar. And let's hope Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not disgraced because of me. He doesn't feel embarrassed because of me. I'm reading the Durood Sharif with all love, all the muhabbat I got about reading. Now, after you make shukr, now you make this dua. See? So first you work, then you make dua with shukr, right? And after you have made shukr, and you made dua, you made the effort, right? You made dua after that. And thereafter, after you have done this too, then assign your affair to Allah Ta'ala. Say, Allah, now I'm happy with you, Allah Ta'ala. I'm really happy with you. You say it verbally, you say it. Now, if you're going to say every day that I'm very happy for you, very happy for your deen, very happy for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be his ummah, I ask you, won't Allah Ta'ala put happiness in your heart? You're saying every day, from your heart you're saying, Allah, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be in his ummah. I'm happy for Islam, right? Every day you're saying it, I'm too happy. You're thinking about the whole thing. It's not just a ritual. You see, where you're killing a ibadat, is you're just doing it as a ritual. But you're doing it like you're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm too happy for that. You will be happy when you do the comparison. When you see the person that doesn't have Islam and how his life is working, and when you compare that to your life, then you understand the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Then you say, Allah, I assign this to you. Allah, I'm too pleased, I'm very happy with you. I'll tell you, it's a guaranteed procedure to bring about happiness. You will find happiness within you, within your spouse, within your household, within your business, you'll find happiness. Right? And the happiness is this. Straight away you do this, you'll start off. Sometimes, it takes some time for you to see the happiness. It's not that the happiness is not there. It's there, but time is required to see the happiness. Like you planted the seed, right? I think if it's a good tree, right? It's a good tree. Wood tree, for example, right? So you're going to make $1 million out of it, right? So the investment starts from the time that you planted the seed. But just that you couldn't see it. You didn't know what it is. When it came out, and then you start chopping wood, 10,000, 20,000, 40,000, 100,000, million rand. Now, I understand. So at that day when that investment was started, could you see it? So Allah gave it to you. It's just that you can't see it straight away. Can't see it. Doesn't mean you don't have it. You do have it. But it takes time for you to understand. Right? Father was very good to his children. So the child that he left behind was 3-4 years of age, right? So he left 50 million for that small child, right? Now he's 3 years, 4 years. He doesn't know wealth. So his brothers are kind enough to manage his health, control everything else. Now when he's about 25 years of age, they transferred all that to his name. Hey, what a thing my father has left for me. So good. He now understands the excitement, understands the thrill of wealth. But he had the blessing of wealth that very day he had it. It was only time that opened out, unraveled that mystery. So when you say this, you will have the happiness.
But with time, then that mystery will just unravel. You'll begin to see things in perspective. Right? So, हम तो अभी तालिब की बातें कर रहे थे, पता नहीं कहाँ से हम कहाँ पहुँच गए. Maybe it was a need for us to speak all this. Allah Taala made me speak about it. So now they are conniving that we have to work a plan. So now Abu Talib is making the proposals to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, let them do their thing and you go your way. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to his uncle, it's just one proposal I got. I'm saying it in my own words, not the exact words of Nabi Sallallahu. I just got one proposal. If they accept it, then the entire Arab will respect them and the non-Arab will pay tribute to them. So both. So when Nabi Sallallahu said this, mentioned this, Abu Jahl said, well, if that's the case, then it's not one of your suggestion. We accept 10 of your suggestions. Ashra kalimat. Not just one suggestion of yours, we'll prepare to accept 10 suggestions. What is it? So just the same thing, La ilaha illallah. Now when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said La ilaha, they just to the close, say, Aja'al al-aliyata ilaha wahida. All the gods we've got, we reduce it to just one god. So Allah Pak revealed the verses thereafter. Sad wal Qur'an is a dhikr. بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي عِزَّةٍ وَشِقَاقٍ. Quran full of admonition, full of advice. بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي عِزَّةٍ وَشِقَاقٍ. It is the unbelievers that are steeped in self-glory, right? They are steeped in self-glory and in a path of opposition. See, opposing. If the truth comes, they'll oppose it. Good comes, they'll oppose it. Honesty comes, they'll oppose it. So they want it their way. Truth is what they would say is true. Islam is that which they would say Islam. That means they are the gods. They must be the engineers of Islam to show us what is Islam. This is the Islam that we will propose and this is what you will accept. Must be an Islam. Must be free going, cool, relaxed, no parda. Don't be so strict about it. Go to the movies, perform your namaz, don't perform your namaz. Eat day, wear a kurta, it's alright. Design a kurta, you just show you a Muslim. Design a beard, design a kurta. Oh, it's alright. Chalti hai gari. Chalti ki naam gari. So the Islam that we will design, not what Allah Ta'ala suggests, but we will design it, you accept that Islam. So if we design that Islam, you must accept it, then you are a good person. So if it's our design, then that's acceptable. Then you'll be our friend. وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا وَلَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَكَ. When you take our design, then you'll be our friend. So if our women are working, your women must work. If our women are becoming doctors and specialists, your women must also become like that. If our women can open their businesses, then you must also. If our women are scantily dressed, then your women must do the same. If our men are wearing tights and jeans, and you must also wear the same thing. So we'll give the lead, and you must just follow. And then each day, Jumad, you could put a topi, put a kurta, and come around, carry on. Chalti ki naam gari. So we are the leaders. So you follow us, everything will be well. We are a banking system, we'll just put Islamic. Alright, carry on. Chalti ki naam gari. But if you move away from that, then, fi izzati wa shiqaq, then we'll oppose you. We'll see that. You put the standards on your road all the time. See that? بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي عِزَّةٍ وَشِّقَاءٍ. This week here, last week or so. So, one professor, I don't know if it was a man or a woman. So, he writes, you know, about this famous thing that is going on. LG, kya kehte hai isko? LG something, whatever. What? Lesbian, gay. Yaad rakhna bhi mushkil hai. When you hear this thing, you feel nauseated. You don't want to even talk about it. But anyway, it's an in thing. Everybody is talking about it. They're talking about it. So the man is writing, outwardly he would seem to be a Muslim. So he says, you know what? Today this is the most oppressed class. From every corner, every quarter, they're being oppressed. They are downtrodden. And you know, Islam came
to support the rights of the oppressed. They help them, they support them, they bring them up. And see how they're oppressed. Isn't it your duty, ulama, that you must suppress, you must take them out of the oppression, support their case. So the answer wasn't in my mind, really. I heard this thing, but I never pay attention. But now when he wrote this, Allah put the answer in my mind. I know that, mashallah, Islam definitely we must support. Every person must support them, every oppressed person. Even the one that is in drugs, must support him. He's oppressed by drugs. Drugs have oppressed him, pushed him right down. So we need to support him, take him out of that oppression. How we will take him out of that oppression is, we'll flush that filth out of his system, bring him back to normality. He's become abnormal. So humanity, community doesn't want to accept him. So we'll flush it out of his system, the filth, all the dirt will come out. He'll become back to a normal life. So this person also, he's become abnormal. So we will help him, we'll support him. We'll flush all the filth out of his system. All that dirt, Amdu Gajwaru, all the filth, we'll take it out from his system. Bring him back to a normal human being. I'm thinking, hey, how to finish this letter now? Start off and then a bit of a style must give. See. So he says, you know what? All the Allah Ta'ala's fazl, we can't claim anything. Allah Ta'ala's fazl, our Buzurganadin's dua. No, normally it happens when you show respect to our Buzurganadin, Mashaykh, all that. Allah Ta'ala likes them, see. So Allah Ta'ala likes, you make qadr. Anishkur li wali walidek. Respect Allah Ta'ala. Appreciate, respect your parents. Similarly, like your parents are the means of your biological existence, then the Buzurgana Deen are the means of your spiritual existence, right? You got that existence because of them, so you appreciate, make dua for them. Allah Pak likes this, to appreciate. Ballam yashkurin nas, lam yashkurin Allah. So then I wrote up and I told him, see, this concept of algae or that is totally illogical. Now why it's illogical? Because every country, every nation, for that thing to be prosperous and work properly, we need all type of talented people, professional people, people of career in all departments. You need accountants, you need doctors, you need specialists, you need architects, you need lawyers, all type of professional talented people, you need good business people, right? All type of honest people working for the nation. So you need them, right? But if this thing is going to carry on, the algae thing has to carry on, then what's going to happen? Right? See, the whole mankind went into this, right? When all the mankind went into algae and all that, then the production line, I ask, will be jammed up or will be a continuity to the production line? Won't be jammed up, fish, no? Huh? Man to man, woman to woman, they carry on like this, right? So there will not be any production. When there is no production now, then you will get talented people. You want some talented doctor, you want a politician that is talented, you want an engineer that is talented, you want a doctor that is talented. Can you get this type of professional people? You can't get them. Where are you going to get them from? Unless you know, America got some karamat to take out a man from a man. I don't know. We didn't hear this anywhere. Ab tak to humne to suna nahi. Unke paas koi to koi machine hogi. For that to happen, if that happens, it takes on, that I ask you that the production line, can it continue? It's impossible, can't continue. You it's a trouble, a crisis, the country has got a crisis, you need policemen, right? You need people that are experts in the defense. Anybody to defend the country. So it's a perfect recipe to destroy any nation. Just destroy the production line. There's no defense, there's no police, there's no order, there's no talented people. Now how the country will run? One, two, generation, everything will just collapse. So this is continue. Allah Ta'ala has created goals, has created tasks, right? Create tasks, and the tasks have to be achieved. Right? And then for the task to be achieved correctly, you need distribution of work. Everybody can't do everything. You need a distribution of work, then the thing can be achieved. Right? So now, in our system, for example, right, I'm using an example that's not too good. So just make me laugh for that. I'll use the bank, right? So just make me laugh for using the bank. Now, look at a system, any modern system, for that thing to be functional, right, you need someone to make money, right? But you need an institute to preserve the money, right? Making millions, hundreds, thousands, millions, etc. So don't you have one class of people making the money, right? They're making the money. But one class of people to preserve the money, that is the bank, right? Just for our ease. There may be others also that are preserving, but for our ease and purposes, we'll say, the banks, right? Now, if it is that everybody was told what you must do, you must earn the money and preserve it yourself, I ask you, will it be easy? So the man, what Allah Akbar did, distribute the responsibility. He said, you go and earn the money, and woman, you look after the man. Look after him, his wife, his property, his children, look after everything. If now everybody had to look after everything, that you must also look after, and I must look after. The house, the children, you look after, and I look after. I said, ask you, will there be any goal in life? Will there be any sanity in life? So these things that have come up to push the woman out of the house, to bring about algae, all these things here, it's all recipes for destroying a community. See, look at the life of any person that is progressive with something for himself. You'll find that something is common. He had a very good family support. The mother was taking care, gave him a direction, gave him the encouragement. When he was down, she brought him up again. Now then she spanked him wherever there was a need. So she did all this. Now the man becomes a talented person. But the person who's most oppressed in the system, in the ancient system, was the woman, because her name didn't come up. That she was the woman that brought the person up. She was a jewel. She brought the jewel out of the child. She did everything. But then she's forgotten in community, right? Everything is like how the seed, right? All the good that came out from the tree was from the seed. But the seed was forgotten after that. So that's the qurbani of the woman. She did so much, but she was forgotten after that. Now remove that seed of the equation. You go do your work. Everybody is going to work, right? I ask you, will there be any community? Will there be good people? Even if you get some people that are talented, but the race that we're going to be producing will be all delinquents. Because there's no direction. The mother gives the direction, or do this, don't do this, do your schoolwork, mother side work, read the Quran Sharif, namaz on time, the mother does all this, right? So she's creating some discipline in the child. That man becomes he becomes a doctor. Or he becomes whatever, right? But he's got some discipline in him, he's got some honesty, he's got discipline. Now, you remove the discipline off the equation, he became a talented person. So what he's concerned is just money, exploiting this person, that's what he sees. So I asked you, will that be a healthy community? So that healthy community comes when there's a distribution of work. If you have business people, then you need to have a bank. It can't function. Show me where it functions, that each person is responsible to make the money and preserve the money. One person will be responsible to make the money, one person is responsible to preserve the money. In our cases, it is the woman that will preserve. And then you see healthy people, strong people, disciplined people, intelligent people, people with sight and might, they are coming up. Ulil aidi wal absar, translated as sight and might. Ulil aidi wal absar, might and sight. So you see this ayat, بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي عِزَّةٍ وَشِقَاقٍ. So they are steeped in self-glory, they are steeped in a path of opposition, they can't see it. They can't see it. It's so blatant, it's so clear, right? That they are in opposition. I ask you, that Afghanistan, did it ever go to America and fight? Iraq, did it go to London and fight? But who came to fight? And yet, then to the Iraqis are called terrorists. They are called terrorists, Afghanis are called terrorists. But did they take the initiative to go to America and fight there? You see that one-sided. In the whole world now, the system is so corrupted that your mind is also corrupted. Now, if you go anywhere and you say, you know what, apply for a visa, I want to go to Afghanistan to fight for the Muslim cause, and you're a terrorist. But if you go to America, going to America to fight for America against Afghanistan, absolute normal. You see the one-sided. One-sided picture, one side. This is what you say, you know, one-track mind. They can't see this side, they can't see that side. One-track mind. So, immediately if you are on their side, then you write. You write, you might, everything is in order. But the moment you go on the side of the people that are underprivileged, then you become the terrorist, you see. See how the whole thinking has got reversed, upside down. So, Islam is standing for the truth. It's standing for honesty. It's standing for good values, right? Right? And the world doesn't want to see good values. It doesn't want to see honesty. It doesn't want to see virtue. Because it doesn't want to see virtue, honesty, etc., therefore they are in the part of opposition. Allah Baghdad Mustafa.